Okay, so we're starting right at the end of chapter 1 and working into chapter 2, and we'll be reading all of chapter 2 this evening. So let's just read from chapter 1 where we start. So now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So I thought we're going to have to take a little pause here, because this, out of context, is pretty bizarre. So we're starting off with a picture where a guy gets swallowed by a fish and he's in the belly 3 days and 3 nights. So I thought, especially in the context of having a couple of weeks off between where we'd been in Jonah before and where we are now, I wanted to recap a little bit. So we're back in line with where this is, and as we pick up this again, we will see the context of this scripture. And then we go on to see Jonah's prayer, and so we'll understand a lot of the context of Jonah's prayer to the Lord. So what's happened so far? The word of the Lord came to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh. So you can see Nineveh over there on the far side of the map. When this happens, he is in Joppa, which is 550 miles away. So it's still a fair hike, but doable. Now, Jonah, he didn't like these people. And the interesting thing here is his reason for not wanting to go was not because he didn't want to bring God's word to them or he didn't want to be around them. It was actually because he knew the nature of God, and he knew that God was merciful. And so it's this strange scenario, where the first thing you would automatically think is his motivation for not wanting to go to these people, maybe fear for himself, is actually not what his motivation was. He didn't want God to extend mercy to these people because he had a hatred for them. And he knew that if he went there and he delivered the word of God, that God would offer mercy to them. So it sounds really cold and unloving. We do, as we read further through and in last week, we do see the side of Jonah that is loving. He's not completely cold and unloving as a character. We saw him express compassion for the people that he was with on the boat when God sent the storm. But because he turned and tried to get away from God, he's headed on his way over to Tarshish, 2,500 miles in the opposite direction of where God has asked him to go. He didn't want to go. He turned tail and he fled in the complete opposite direction. And it was, let's be frank, relatively unsuccessful, because you can't run away from God. God is always there, but that didn't stop him trying. So he turned away from God and he ran. And he ran as far as he could come up with in the opposite direction. He was committed to not obeying God, and that was because he really didn't want to go to Nineveh and be the worker of God's mercy to those people. So the boat that he got on was overcome by a great storm, and that storm was sent by God. To cut that story short, it became very clear to the people that he was responsible for the storm, after much convincing from Jonah himself, they eventually threw him overboard. They weren't keen to, but he convinced them this was the only way you were going to survive. They threw him overboard and the storm ceased. So let's pick up again, because that's where we're up to, is Jonah's tried to run away from God. God has sent the storm. He's realized he has to be thrown overboard into the ocean, essentially giving up on life. And that's where we pick up here with the fish. So let's read the scripture again, and then we're also going to read the prayer that comes after it. And that's what we're really going to focus on this evening, is looking at this prayer that Jonah prays in this time. Okay. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly, and he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet I have brought up my life. You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So Jonah ran away from God, and as we can see from the storm coming and him going into the ocean, it was not an overly successful attempt to get away from God. He's learned that no matter where he goes, God is there, and you can't run away from God's purpose for you. Jonah disobeyed God and tried to get away from him. So much so that he went to the point of trying to get 2,500 miles in the opposite direction of where God wanted him to go. And it didn't work out so well for him. So running away from God here brought all sorts of trouble under himself and those around him. Okay. And this is where he ended up, in the belly of a fish. Jonah himself puts it that he is in the belly of Sheol. And Sheol is a word that's translated as Hades, or sort of the land of the dead. So you could think of it as being in the grave. It's like him being buried and dead. He sees that he is stuck at the bottom of the ocean. He's wet, he's trapped, he's powerless, and he's inside a fish. And you can't convince him that's a nice place to be. It's going to be wet, it's going to be slimy, it's going to stink. It's a great salvation, but he's not in a great place. And this is after being taken out of the ocean, where he's drifting down into the ocean, drowning and essentially giving up on life as he gets toward the bottom of the ocean. But still, the situation that he was in with drowning, this fish coming and eating him, and despite it being probably a stinky, cold, gross place, it was still way better than the certain death that he was in. Sometimes in our lives, we're going to have circumstances that are a bit like the place that he's in, or even the place that he was drowning. You know, pressures encroach on us from all around. There appears to be no way out. We have disappointments in our life. We can have pressures of stress. We can be depressed or anxious and feel trapped and powerless in those circumstances. Yeah, I know myself, I've experienced some of these in my life. In the past, I've suffered anxiety attacks. The situation where you freak out and you can't think straight, your normal function, ability to reason is gone. I personally would get very nauseous, I'd struggle to breathe. And that was a scenario where I was completely powerless, and I couldn't calm myself down, and I really, really struggled in that. Another thing that I had in my younger years, which really reminded me of this kind of drowning picture of him going down and being surrounded by the water and being down to the depths of the earth, was that I had challenges with depression early on in my life. And, you know, I couldn't see any hope. I couldn't see any purpose for my life. I'd feel like no one around me cared, that no one loved me, that there was, no way out, no point in continuing to live, that there was nothing to live for. I mean, these things are completely irrational and wrong. I mean, in my young life, I had a mother who was, amazing. She loved me to death, took great care of me. She was, a wonderful mother. And yet in those times when I was struggling with that, I couldn't see any of that. It's like you just have this complete surrounding of the waters and that crushing feeling on you. And, I mean, sometimes many of us would experience it, in work or in school and, pressures around exams and assignments where we're stressed and we're really struggling. And these things kind of press in on us. And, I would say, obviously none of them are as dramatic as what we're looking at with Jonah, actually being in the water and drowning. But some of them share resemblance in that feeling, that kind of crushing feeling that you get where you struggle to be able to feel like you have any control or any way to change your circumstances. So it's from this kind of feeling and this scenario, an extreme version of that, that Jonah's crying out. I mean, he calls it the belly of Sheol, so the belly of death, right at the, he's in the depths of the ocean and really facing death. But he cried out and he says that God heard his voice when he cried out. So Jonah was in this situation because he ran away from God. As we read, this chapter ends with Jonah being vomited on the beach by a fish. So he gets out of the belly of Sheol, and is saved from almost of the almost certain death that he was facing when he was in the water. So let's read more of this passage and learn about what changed from this man that was running away from God and, you know, extreme circumstances, and how did God then choose to release him from that. And we can see some of this in his prayer. So let's read together. It's up on the slide. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounds me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds are wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Jonah was cast out from the sight of God, yet in the time of despair, Jonah looked again toward God's holy temple. Jonah looked back to God at that time when he was, you know, thrown off the boat and he was giving himself up for dead. At that time, he turned to God and he knew what he should have done. Still in the fish, and remember, this prayer is happening while he's in the fish, because it starts with him being swallowed and it ends with him being vomited on the beach. So he's in the fish while he's praying this. So still in that circumstance, he prays to God and he acknowledges him for saving him from death. Remember, still in the fish, and he's acknowledging God's wonderful mercy from taking him out of the water. You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. He acknowledges that God has saved him from death when he says that. When we get into situations it is very often because we have run away from God and his ways, or we're trying to disobey his commands. You know, when I was anxious, it was because I wasn't trusting in him. You know, when I was depressed, I mean, the depression happened before the Lord saved me, and I saw no hope. And it's because I didn't know who I was. I didn't know that I was made in the image of God. I didn't know that I had a purpose in serving him and in bringing glory to his name. And it wasn't until I turned to the Lord that I stopped running from him and was able to see these things. And it very much was being turned away from the depths of Sheol, or the depths of death, and finding real freedom through Jesus Christ. So let's continue reading through Jonah's prayer, because there's more in here for us to see. So he says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have owed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So Jonah is given up for dead here. He was drowning in the ocean after a great storm. The water surrounded him and he sunk down to the bottom of the ocean. He gave up on life. He's saying that his soul fainted and at that time he remembered the Lord. So he'd given up. His soul had given up and he remembered the Lord at that time when he was completely at his end. When we're struggling in our lives, you know, what do we remember? When we're feeling depressed and we're feeling overwhelmed by circumstances, what is it that we turn to? You know, when we're anxious and we think that we can't cope and we can't control ourselves, how do we try to cope? What are the things that we do? You know, Jonah here says that those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Now, how often is he speaking about us when he says that? You know, when we're stressed, and we don't turn to the Lord in our stress and pray to him for the things that he has given us and seek his word, instead, we will often try to distract ourselves with things of the world. You know, we'll turn towards sins as a way to try and take some control or deal with the challenges that are going on. I mean, these things are worthless idols that we can turn to. And, you know, in your time of need, what is it that you're turning to? And I'd ask you whether you're turning to an idol or turning to the Lord. And this isn't just people who don't know the Lord. Even knowing the Lord, we can often in times of stress or challenge in our lives turn toward idols, or even turn toward the idol of ourselves in trying to desperately solve our own problems without seeking the Lord. And when we do that, you know, it says there in the scripture that we turn to worthless idols that forsake our own mercy. The Lord's mercy is there for us to have, and we forsake it when we turn to other things. And the Lord is gracious to us in our troubles. In Psalm 9, we can read that the Lord the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. To those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So the Lord is our refuge in these times. The Lord ended up being the refuge, even in the form of a fish, to Jonah in this circumstance when he was drowning and desperate and had nowhere else to turn. Anything else in that circumstance would have meant that he would have died there in the ocean. The Lord takes mercy on us in our troubles. Idols and things of this world do not, and by forsaking the Lord, we forsake our own mercy, because mercy is from the Lord. Jonah, finally, after facing death, turned to the Lord, and he says that he will sacrifice to God with a voice of thanksgiving. He received mercy in the form of a giant fish. It's a strange mercy, I'll grant you that, but it is a life-saving mercy for him in that situation. And this is one thing that we can be sure of about the salvation via a fish, is that that was definitely the hand of God. There is no way that that is going to happen by accident, that a giant fish is going to be sitting there ready to eat him up, ready to vomit him onto land when the Lord says. And there is no way that he can claim any of his own power in, you know, making himself really attractive to a fish to eat or something like that. And one thing that's amazing about that and the kind of bizarreness of that salvation is you can't question the source of it. That salvation was from the Lord. And Jonah saw that as well. He's sitting there in the belly of a fish after being drowning in the water and being eaten by a giant fish. And there is no way that Jonah's going to sit there and do anything other than say that God sent that fish, because there is no other way that that was going to happen. And he ends his prayer by making that very clear statement. Salvation is of the Lord. There was no other possible source of his salvation but for the Lord. And I will also say to you that this evening, for ourselves, there is no other possible source for our salvation other than the Lord. You know, in our own lives, we see evidence in the states of our hearts. We see that in things that come out that we experience. You know, anxiety and depression are some that will also sort of demonstrate the state of our heart. And, you know, in anxiety, we suffer in a way that is crippling. With depression, we suffer where, you know, we're not having rational thought. It's completely gone and we're left feeling hopeless and, and a real loneliness. These things all have a common source, and that common source is our sin and our running away from God and his ways. We've read many times here at Kalanga the verse from Romans that explains that the wages of sin is death. So we're all dead men and women walking. You know, we understand that. Within our own sins, we are facing death, and we are effectively dead now without Christ. So when we look at Jonah in the water, drowning, about to die and relying on God for salvation, we are no different. You know, we're in the water in our sins. We're drowning. We're about to die in our sins. And we need a miraculous Savior. You know, we need a fish to come and swallow us. So the waters surround us, even to our souls, when we are living in sin. The deep closes around us. The weeds are wrapped around our heads. We go down to the moorings of the mountains, right to the bottom where the mountains originate under the water. The earth with its bars closed behind us forever. That's the state for all of us until we find an answer to our sin problem. As he did for Jonah, God has sent a miraculous answer to our sin problem. He has sent a giant fish to swallow us and help us into the path of seeking God and his ways. This fish is Jesus Christ. There's actually a lot of things in this passage that show parallels between Jonah's experience and Christ. I'm going to leave a lot of these to a later week because they're important in summing things up. But I think it's clear to see that there is in that fish being the saviour for Jonah, Christ forms the same function for us, a miraculous saviour that takes us out of the belly of Sheol, the belly of death. And it is a simple answer, and it is Christ. Christ was the perfect sacrifice for sin. He died on the cross that we might be taken up from the drowning depths and be put back onto the dry land. As we see from Jonah's story, being saved by God, I guess we'll see this more in the coming weeks, but being saved by God doesn't mean we're going to become perfect people. Jonah doesn't get vomited out onto the dry land and suddenly he's, the perfect, happy, clappy follower of God, completely happy to do everything God says. But he understands God's will and his need to follow it. So we will still be challenged after we are saved by Christ, but we'll be working to fulfill the purpose that we were made for and our reason for being here. To be saved by the fish that was sent for us, Jesus, we need to repent of our sins. This means saying sorry and really meaning it. The way that you show that you're really sorry is actually going to be in how you turn away from your sins. That will be natural for you when you've really repented of your sins, and the Lord will do that within you. But the Lord, we must have faith in Jesus Christ in order to come to salvation. You won't be perfect when you're saved, but the Lord will help you be more like him as you continue to seek him in reading his word and in praying. And the good news is that it's God that makes us change. It's not us. It's not us having to do these things. It's the Lord in us that will do these things. So if you're here tonight and you don't know God, I would encourage you not to wait to see him. Turn to him today. You would have been living your life running 2,500 miles in the opposite direction of God, but you can turn and face him and seek him and repent of your sins, and he will help you turn and walk in his way. I think another thing that we can see from this is that Jonah was a Christian. He knew God, he heard the voice of God, and knew God was directing him to do something. And he's still, in his attitude toward God or what God asked of him, turned and ran in the opposite direction. So there's even a message of grace in here for those of us here who are Christians, in that, God may be requiring something of us that's really challenging, that we're struggling with and we're wanting to run in the opposite direction of. But God has grace to help us turn around and follow him, and he can help us in that situation. I encourage you, if there's anyone here in either of those situations that wants some encouragement or wants to know more, please talk to somebody about it. We're here to kind of help you, we can help each other as we kind of walk in that same direction towards God, and we head there together.